Als directeur van de International School in Haren toetst hij op een andere manier dan de normale Nederlandse school. Wat zijn de verschillen en wat kunnen we van elkaar leren? Professional meets student in gesprek met Mike Weston.
Mike, welcome. You are the head of the International School in Haren. Can you tell me more about this school? What do you do different than the rest of the country of the Netherlands?
Yes, of course. International School Haren is a school predominantly for children of expats, international students who come to the Netherlands because their parents come here to work. Could be for the university, could be for business. Also Dutch families who return to the Netherlands having worked abroad, where the students are perhaps 13, 14, 15 and cannot fit so well back into regular Dutch education. In the international school we run a different educational program than regular Dutch education. We work very closely with what's called the International Baccalaureate Organization, which is a worldwide organization, ironically based in Den Haag, where their central offices are in The Hague. But we run what's called the International Baccalaureate Middle Years Program for students between the age of 11 and 16, and the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program for students of 16 to 18. The Middle Years Program is really to build the students into their future, and their future could be the Diploma Program, but it could also be in other educational programs depending on the country. It's a worldwide program. And it's taught in international schools and state schools all over the world. About 50% of IB schools are state, about 50% are private international schools. We are an odd school to such an extent compared with international schools over the world that we're a state-subsidized international school. We're an odd breed within the International School Groningen to the extent that in the Netherlands the Dutch international schools are state-subsidized and therefore are attached to a regular Dutch school. So I think one of the unique features about international schools in the Netherlands is that we run in partnership with regular Dutch education. We run in our school, as I said, the two international programs, but again, we run part of that also in the regular Dutch school. And so there I can, you know, give you some ideas of how that contrasts and adds value to regular Dutch education.
Yeah, we are going to talk about this, but not just the two of us. I have a very interesting table company because next to me is student Merel Kuipers, currently student at the University of Amsterdam. Merel, what are your first thoughts about this IB, about International Baccalaureate?
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. Also, like you said, that there's like this, you work with regular schools as well. But how does that work on a day-to-day basis? Do they like have classes with the regular school and just with the internationals, or how does that work?
That's a good question. In our school, we have the international school, which is a separate school. We run for students between the age of 11 to 16, what's called the Middle Years Program. And the Middle Years Program is a didactical framework. It's an educational framework that can fit onto any national curriculum. And so what we've decided to do within our school since starting the Middle Years Program in 2000, the year 2000, is to also run the Middle Years Program within the bilingual section of the regular Dutch school. So there the students have a different way of learning. They have a different didactical approach to regular students. Mm-hmm. So they're Dutch students in a regular Dutch VWO, TTO stream who learn through the IB Middle Years Program. And that's quite unique to the Netherlands. The three schools who do that within regular Dutch education, ours being one of them.
Yeah, and what is TTO?
TTO is bilingual education, Tweetalig education.
Yeah. And in what way does the educational system differ from the regular system?
That's a very good question. First of all, we move away from the method. It's not using workbooks. Most of the material is developed by the teachers to fit in with the program, within the Middle Years program. And there are three real main elements of the program that are different. First of all, we teach through concepts. So we have within every subject and across all the subjects a conceptual theme. So subjects can work with each other on the same conceptual theme, which encourages interdisciplinary learning. Secondly, we work with what's called contexts. So in our education, we put what we teach into context with the world. And there are six global contexts, such as scientific innovation. So what the students learn is made relevant to their living by teaching it through a context which they will have experience of or they will have an understanding of. And again, that can encourage this idea of interdisciplinary learning. And the third is the way we assess. Assessment is very important within schools, but what we try to do is devise assessment that will actually stimulate learning. We emphasize a majority of formative assessment rather than summative assessment, so that we try and encourage the students through assessment. So assessment should not only be the closure of a chapter, but should actually lead the students to the next chapter. So assessment should stimulate feedback, should motivate the students to learn more, and as well identify their strengths and weaknesses. Assessment, I think, is one of the biggest differences within the middle years program and regular Dutch education. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about the way the international school started? The ground. Where did it all begin?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, over the years, there have been more and more internationals moving to the Netherlands. In the north of the Netherlands, with International Schoolkroningen, the biggest changer was Shell. The gas, the oil, slightly controversial today, but certainly back in the 80s, Shell was very big at bringing in expats over from the rest of Europe, particularly Scotland, to come and work in the north of the Netherlands. So there was a need for an education that met the requirements of an English-speaking children. At the time, there was very little on offer worldwide. We're talking about 1980. And so the school was opened in order to fulfill the needs of this small group of expat children who needed to study in the UK. It was opened as Martins College International School with a few students, and immediately they adopted the diploma program, which is the upper school, what you would call the Bovenbouw, which leads to university. And then they looked at what was then called International O-Levels, which was a program that would facilitate education between 11 and 16. The school started in 1980 and as part of the Martins College, and over the years has grown and grown and grown and become also a building or a part of the campus of the Martins College. So whilst we remain quite a small school, we have the facilities of a bigger Dutch secondary school to share so that our students are open to the same sort of facility that any Dutch or regular student should be in education.
And can you tell us something more about the way this school is testing the students?
Yeah, assessment. I said earlier that assessment is one of the differences. I mean, very simply, we base our assessment on what would be called criterion-based assessment. So what is very important for a student is that before they're assessed, they know what to expect. They know what they're going to be assessed upon. If you're looking just at the very traditional assessment of knowledge and understanding, students will know how they're going to be assessed and what they're going to be assessed on. So you have a range of criteria, which is divided up into four bands or four levels, and each level carries a grade of two. So you have band one, which would be 1 to 2, band two would be 3 to 4, etc. And within that band, you have statements which relate to what is expected of the student. And it's not just about recall. It's about using their knowledge within a test to develop new knowledge. So a typical knowledge and understanding test will ask for basic information, but it will also ask the student to use that information to solve perhaps unfamiliar problems. That's at a higher level. So a student will do a test, will receive a level based upon how far up the criteria they've proceeded, they've moved. And after the test, they can look at that and they can see what they have done, but what they still need to do to progress further. And that is motivational. If you look at a test where you take marks off for errors that are made, that's less motivational because you're just being told at the end of it what you can't do. Yeah. You've been told how many mistakes you've made. Whereas what we try and do is reward the positive and let them see what they need to do further in order to move on.
Do you think the rest of the Netherlands educational and the schools do this terribly wrong?
Not at all, no. I mean, I wouldn't say anything about it being wrong, but I do say think that there is things that we can learn from it. I think that using a test primarily to close a chapter is not always the best way to move a student forward. Now, of course, there are times where you have to measure students against the standards expected. But how many times a year actually is that necessary? Is it only necessary at the end of a diploma, at the end of a course? Or is it necessary every 3 weeks? I would say, you know, more the first. I would say that you need throughout an educational process to be building a student up. You need to be motivating them. You need to be using assessment to actually move them forward. If you assess a student and they go home and they do nothing with the grade and they don't understand where the grade comes from and they don't learn from it, really, what is the point of that assessment?
But how does that work? For example, when I'm a student, I get back a test for history, for example. Mm-hmm. I don't get a grade back, but I get like, what do I get
back? What do you get back?
Yeah.
You'll get back the criteria, and you'll get back on the criteria a comment saying how you, on what part of the criteria you've reached. So it may just be circle, it may be ticks. Mm-hmm. You have a criteria document which explains the expectations for that assessment, and you will have on it where you have achieved and where you have not achieved. If you get your test back, which I strongly believe you should, you will also be able to see where on the test you have gained credit within that criteria statement. And so you get your criteria back, and you can instantly see what you have done well, where you have achieved, where your strengths are. Yep. You can also see what you haven't yet managed to reach. And that is your then your goal for the next chapter. That is where you need to work on. That is where you need to get extra guidance. Now, within each subject, there are four different criteria. So not only are we're not only looking at knowledge and understanding, for example, but we may also be looking at analyzing or using data or evaluating data. And so within a subject, you will get different kinds of assessments based on these different expectations, based on these different skills that you need to acquire to master your subject. Mm-hmm. And so you will not only get a criteria grade based upon your knowledge and understanding, but you'll also get a grade based upon your analytical skills or your evaluation skills or your communication skills. Can you communicate over that subject? And again, you can identify your strengths and weaknesses within a subject. Are you good at learning? Great. But are you also good at using that knowledge to create new knowledge or to reflect on that knowledge or to critically analyze that knowledge? Those are very different skills, but are all part of a mastery, which is what we're aiming for. We're aiming for students to become experts within their subject. So that's also very important.
But can we ask that of the teacher? Because it sounds like a lot of work you put on their plate.
It is a lot of work, but at the end of the day, you get more motivated students, and more motivated students become better learners, and better learners in your classroom is a far better atmosphere. And what are we there for as teachers? Are we there just to fill the heads with knowledge? Are we there just to put tea into the teapot, or are we there actually to work with that knowledge, to generate new learners, to generate new knowledge, to become excited through learning? The more you want, the more you have to work for. Now, a teacher that sits down with a method and allows the students to trawl through a method towards an end exam, that is one way. If that makes what is regarded as good education, then I'm not one to disagree. However, in my view, that is not what I would expect for students in my school. I want students to become motivated learners. I want students to enjoy their learning and then become owners of their subject.
Yeah. Because what I find interesting is that you work together with a regular school.
Yeah.
Do you really see a difference between students of the international school and the regular school?
It's easier to compare the students that have done the middle years program in the regular school compared with the students that haven't done the middle years program in the middle in the regular school. So if you're looking at the bilingual students and pull away from the fact that they're learning in a different language, if you look at the bilingual stream where we're actually running the MYP didactics and you look at the regular VVO stream, you see an enormous difference. You see students that are inquirers. You see students that will question. You will see students that will actually ask the teacher to more information that is outside of perhaps the regular textbook that they're using. Now this goes on up until VVO 4. This is a 4-year program. I said earlier it's 11 to 16. In the international school we actually begin in group 8, but regular Dutch education of course is leerjaar 1 to 4. And then 5 and 6 they move to regular VVO. So what these students do is they do this middle years program for 4 years and then they often move back into regular VVO where they're mixed with the students who've come from the traditional VVO in the Martins College. And what we hear from in regular VVO in 5 and 6 is that they start with a few problems because they're not used, first of all, to the way that the students have been assessed. They go back to a very regular, traditional type of assessment, which is based on taking grades off for what you do wrong. So that's the first thing. Once they've overcome that, once they've got back into it, they're really prepared. And what the teachers often say from VVO 5 and VVO 6 is that they can tell the students who've come through the middle years program because they're the ones that ask all the questions. They're the ones who won't accept just the answer. They're the ones that ask why. And isn't that what we want from our students? Do not we want inquirers? Don't we want students who can communicate well, students who can reflect well? Or do we want students that just suck in the knowledge in order to get to an end exam at the end of their diploma in school?
I feel that you're really passionate about this.
I'm passionate about education. You know, I have children. I see what happens in school. I've worked in school since I was 22. I've taught since I was 22. I'm now 54. you know, I'm passionate about what happens to the students in our schools. I'm passionate about the future. I'm passionate about the fact that we have to develop students who are going to make this world a better place. And these students have to be masters of their subject and want to develop that subject further.
What can the rest of the Netherlands learn from your passion and second of all from the international school?
I don't think it's about learning. I don't think it's a question of me going in or anybody going in or the international baccalaureate going in and saying everybody has to be taught like this. It's a question of sharing good practice. It's a question of looking at what's happening in other schools and saying, is that better for our students? Is that a better fit for our students? Can we learn from that? Can we do things a little bit differently? I appreciate entirely that at the moment, you know, we have the Dutch exam system, which is undergoing an overhaul. Is the way that we're teaching in international school a way that can support examinations 2.0? I don't know. I'm not saying that our system is better. What I'm saying is that we should be learning from each other. And the reason why international schools come to VEO conferences, and the reason why VEO schools go to international conferences is to learn from each other. And that's what it's about. It's about pooling our resources. As teachers, we're far too good at reinventing the wheel. And we're not good at sitting together and saying, okay, what is best for the future of our country? What is best for the future students? What do the universities need from students? Are we preparing our students in schools for university and for further education, or are we preparing, or are we just giving them a ticket to get to the next stage and then, and I say it quite bluntly, washing our hands of them because it's up to the universities to sort them out? I would like to say that we're preparing our students, we're preparing students for the future, wherever it may be.
How can this method be improved? What do you think has to change still in how the international school is testing and teaching?
Yeah, I mean, nothing is perfect. I still think we need to look at how we're assessing. I mean, I'm here to talk about assessment predominantly. I still think we need to look at teaching and learning. I mean, I hear speakers all over the world, and I think, whoa, that can have an influence on the way that the teaching and learning
like
happens
what?
In my school. For example, more open, more differentiation, more open learning culture, where students are not necessarily trapped in a group where someone has said you are all of a certain level. I don't believe that students who are at a higher level in maths are then automatically at a higher level in history or automatically at a higher level in languages. I believe that students have different skills. I believe that we can look forward to a future where students of perhaps different ages work together, or students work together across different levels. Student may be in a lower level for one subject and a higher level for another subject. I think students should be planning their own route. I think students should be looking at a structure that can allow them to achieve their best in a subject and not failing a subject because they've been put into the wrong level because they did a test when they're 12 that determines where we think they should be. I think we should be looking at much more differentiation within schools, not only across age, but across level. Girls are much more mature at 14 than boys. Should girls be in a different group? I don't know. I've worked in single-sex schools. They say that girls' schools are better for girls, but mixed schools are better for boys. There's an issue there, somehow. You can't have both. Yeah. But, I think there's a lot we can learn, and there's a lot we can learn by visiting each other's lessons, by visiting each other's schools, and talking to each other and working together for the best of our students.
So you are never finished learning?
Lifelong learning. No one is ever finished learning, no.
Mike Weston, Merel Kuipers, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.